A judge in Milwaukee says former fellow judge Hannah Dugan will not have to spend any time in prison for her felony conviction, but she says she still plans to appeal. It's Thursday, July 9th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, another person drops out of the crowded Democratic field for governor. Vice President J.D. Vance was in Milwaukee yesterday touting a crackdown on fraud and social service programs. And we'll take a look at how opioid treatment and harm reduction programs in the state may be fueling a sharp drop in overdose deaths.
I didn't want to go back to the streets. I didn't want to use anymore.
Stay with us.
Educators can infuse American Indian Studies into their classrooms with help from WisconsinFirstNations.org. Find videos, maps, lessons, and more to support Wisconsin's Act 31 education requirement. Brought to you by PBS Wisconsin, UW-Madison School of Education, Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, tribal educators, and partners statewide. WisconsinFirstNations.org.
Former Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan will not spend any time in prison. Instead, she's been sentenced to pay a $5,000 fine. As Sarah Lear reports, her sentencing yesterday came after she was convicted of impeding immigration enforcement last year.
In April 2025, Dugan led a man through a side door of her courtroom after immigration agents showed up to arrest him. The prosecution argued Dugan had abused her power as a local judge. During her sentencing hearing, prosecutors told U.S. District Judge Lynn Edelman that Dugan deserved a serious penalty. Edelman, however, said he did not believe prison time was warranted. He described the 67-year-old former judge as someone who made a bad decision in the moment because of her, quote, widely shared concerns about immigration enforcement. Speaking in court, Dugan said she is neither a scofflaw nor a hero. She described herself as a public servant just trying to do her job. Her attorneys plan to appeal her conviction. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Vice President J.D. Vance made a visit to Milwaukee yesterday to speak about the Trump administration's efforts to crack down on fraud in social service programs. He spoke for just under 40 minutes at the Wisconsin National Guard Air Refueling Wing in front of a banner that read, "Protecting Taxpayer Dollars." The visit came 2 weeks after the U.S. Department of Justice announced a, quote, national healthcare fraud takedown with more than 400 defendants charged for alleged healthcare fraud schemes, including some in Wisconsin.
We're here to talk about protecting the programs that exist that are funded by the generosity of the people in this room and that ought go to the people they're meant for and not to make fraudsters rich.
Before Vance's visit, Democrats in a press conference said Trump's policies aren't making life more affordable for Wisconsinites. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley is ending his campaign for governor. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the Milwaukee Democrat said it was clear he would not become his party's nominee.
A year ago, Crowley was among the first Democrats to announce a run to replace outgoing Governor Tony Evers. On Wednesday, he said he would end his campaign. Crowley did not immediately endorse a different Democrat. In a statement, he said, quote, "The most important thing now is for Democrats to come together and defeat Tom Tiffany in November." That's a reference to the presumptive Republican nominee. Crowley is the second Democrat to drop out in recent weeks. Former Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation head Missy Hughes also suspended her campaign. Five Democrats remain in the field, with a month to go until primary day. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
I just want to add a quick note to that story. After Crowley dropped out and after Anya filed that story, Crowley did endorse a gubernatorial candidate last night. He threw his support behind current Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who also has the support of former candidate Missy Hughes. The family of two of the three children who drowned when a boat capsized in a sudden storm on Geneva Lake over the 4th of July weekend have organized a GoFundMe. 6-year-old Caleb Oswald and 7-year-old Abigail Oswald are named in the fundraiser. The family says the money raised will be used to start a charity in their memory. The third child, a 10-year-old girl, has not yet been named. Organizer Brad Oswald wrote that Caleb and Abigail were more than brother and sister. He said they were best friends. The children were among 10 people who were on the capsized boat when storm suddenly hit Friday. First responders rescued 6 adults and 1 child from the water. The 3 missing children were found inside the sunken boat at the bottom of the lake. In the online fundraiser, Brad Oswald thanked supporters for, quote, honoring Caleb and Abigail in a way that reflects the love, kindness, and joy they brought to everyone who knew them. Wisconsin health professionals are recommending residents thoroughly wash their produce as a parasitic illness continues to spread in Michigan. As Hope Kerwin reports, roughly 600 cases have been confirmed in the outbreak.
Cyclospora is often spread through imported produce, like herbs, lettuce, or berries. The microscopic parasite causes severe diarrhea that can last for several weeks or even months. Dr. David McNamara is an infectious disease doctor at Amplify Health by Gunderson. He says that longer timeline is part of what makes the infection different than other foodborne illnesses. And it's especially difficult for people with weakened immune systems.
It can be much harder to get the cyclospora infection to respond to treatment and to go away.
There have been 35 cases in Wisconsin this summer, but state health officials say none have been linked to the outbreak in Michigan. Thoroughly washing produce can help prevent an infection, as well as cooking foods or opting for frozen over fresh. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, opioid overdose deaths have been falling sharply in Wisconsin, and treatment programs funded by a multi-billion-dollar legal settlement may be helping drive the trend. Stay with us.
Public media is more than what's on TV or the radio. It's educational tools for teachers.
It's trusted news on air and online.
Local stories shared across social media that keep us connected.
It's urgent alerts when safety matters most. PBS Wisconsin and WPR serve you in many ways, and it's all possible because of your support. Visit WPR.org/together.
And finally, overdose deaths hit record highs across communities in Wisconsin during the pandemic, but they've been falling sharply since 2022. Evan Casey has more on what's helping to bring down the number of overdoses.
After decades of struggling with addiction, Sean Kress was living in a tent at a park and ride off the interstate in Milwaukee. His wife and children had left him. He had already lost his brother to an overdose. But still, his focus was only on one thing.
That being the lowest I've ever been in my life, I still had the drugs, so I was okay.
A few months later, he decided to make a change.
I didn't want to go back to the tent. I didn't want to go back to the streets. I didn't want to use anymore.
He spent a few days in a detox center. Then he began treatment at Serenity Inns, a residential facility in Milwaukee. He's been sober for over a year, and he's a certified peer support specialist for Serenity Inns, helping other people fight their addictions.
I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what I have to do to stay clean, and that's just the first step into the new life.
Wisconsin saw a record high 1,830 overdose deaths just 4 years ago, but they have gone down every year since, dropping by just over 35% from 2022 to 2024. People working on the problem point to a few reasons for the drop. It's far easier to get access to harm reduction supplies like Narcan. There's teams on the ground working to get people into treatment, and there's greater awareness around the opioid epidemic. Much of that is being funded by nearly $800 million that is pouring into the state from a national settlement in a lawsuit against opioid manufacturers and distributors. Michelle Hayes is the director of Substance Use Initiatives for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
What we're seeing in Wisconsin is the cumulative effect of years of investment, right? This is a public health ecosystem working as intended, and that's finally showing up in the lives that are being saved.
Statewide overdose numbers for 2025 haven't been released yet, but communities around the state have been seeing drops in overdose deaths in the last few years, In Milwaukee County, overdose deaths fell to 387 last year. That's down 40% from the record high set in 2022. That's good news for Robert Rayberger. He is the supervisor of the Milwaukee Overdose Response Initiative. The team includes firefighters and peer support specialists who meet with people after they overdose. They hand out Narcan and fentanyl test strips and share information about treatment and resources.
Someone says, I want to go now. We can almost certainly get them into a detox right away. And that gives us approximately a 7 to 10 day window then to try and figure out the next step.
Some of those people could end up at Serenity Inns. That's where Crest received treatment. He attended group and individual therapy during the over 2 months he was there.
It was like a new lens. I was starting to look at life in a new way, and I was understanding things that I've never really understood before.
He was also prescribed buprenorphine, which helps treat opioid use disorder.
That helped me tremendously in any type of craving sense.
Kenneth Jenlack is a CEO of Serenity Inns. He says therapy helps address past trauma.
If they don't address the trauma and, you know, some of the childhood things that they may have held on to, then they're more likely to relapse.
The distribution of Narcan statewide shot up by an estimated over 1,400% over the last 6 years through the Naloxone Direct program. Hayes says Narcan used to be, quote, scarce and stigmatized, but that's not the case anymore.
It's increasingly normal to keep in a glove box or a backpack, and the cultural shift is part of why the death rate is falling.
As for Cress, he's found a new purpose in life as a peer support specialist. He introduces a program to newcomers.
Showing them that I'm one of the individuals that successfully completed the program, I'm now living by example.
He's going on 15 months sober. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Our thanks to WPR's Evan Casey for bringing us that story. Let's get a quick check of your forecast before ending the show this morning. High temperatures in the 70s and 80s today. Could see some sunshine in northern Wisconsin later on, but southern Wisconsin looking at some clouds throughout the day and a chance for some rain later on as well. Overnight cloudy and foggy once again with lows down into the 60s. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Really glad you could join us. Thanks for spending some time here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Leave us a rating and review. Love hearing where you're from and how you found out about the show. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.